following program contains mature subject matter. It is designed to glorify Jesus Christ and His Word. So pull up a chair, grab a Bible, and grab a pen, and let's see what the King has to say. Did the King leave us a perfect book? Yes, sir. It's the 611 Authorized King James Bible.
Bring forth fruit, Lord, You created me to bring forth fruit. You are the vine, I am Your branch. Help me abide in You and bring forth fruit. Lord, help me abide in You and bring forth much fruit. Lord, help me abide in You and bring forth much fruit.
Welcome to the broadcast. I am David Hoffman, and I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church of Rensselaer and the First Baptist Church of Lowell. Well, I'm going to start going through a letter in the Bible in the New Testament, verse by verse. I've been doing topics since the beginning of the year, but we're going to start going through the epistle to the Hebrews. A very confusing epistle for some, and hopefully we could help you give you some understanding. Actually, it's the Spirit of God has to give the understanding. Let's see, a newsworthy event here. This is going back yet, probably a little over a year ago. The President Obama spoke at a human rights campaign. More than 3,000 people attended the event, and he vowed to keep up the fight against the so-called Defense of Marriage Act. And he said he tells the homosexual group that they are not done yet. Of course, we know that. And the only time they will get done is if all straight people are dead. And so that's basically the goal. But then, of course, if that happened, then they'll all be dead too after a short while. So they're trying to cram their beliefs down our throats. You don't have a choice in the matter. And that's how it's going to be. Okay, in France, again, this is about a year ago, praying in the streets of Paris is now against the law. Interior Minister Claude Giant warned that police would use force if Muslims or anyone else disobeyed the new rule to keep Paris public spaces secular. Okay, well, technically, If I was in France, I wouldn't hesitate to pray on the sidewalks in France. But I would not block traffic doing it. That's what brought this about. This controversy arose last December, okay, when a French politician brought to national attention more than 1,000 Muslims praying in the streets and blocking traffic every Friday. See, now, there's the issue, blocking traffic, not praying. It's this Muslim faith thinks that they own the world and that you and I should have a total respect and promotion of their nonsense. Okay, and so that's what's going on, and I'm sure if you pray in the street and don't block traffic that you're not going to be bothered. Okay, we have a song, and then we'll get into our lesson for today. Thank you. Okay, we're going to start a new series here going through the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews. Okay, this will follow the little letter that Paul wrote to Philemon following Titus and then 1st and 2nd Timothy. Okay, after Hebrews, it goes to James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. Now, these books are very unusual. The improper interpretation of them, or the private interpretation of people, have used the Hebrews to confuse many, many people. And so we're going to go through this. I'm going to go through this verse by verse. And first we're going to lay a foundation, a very, very good foundation, very solid one. Now when you read through the Bible chronologically, you see that you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The vast majority of those books are dealing with Old Testament doctrine up until the death of Jesus Christ. Then it goes into the New Testament. So the first chronological book that is New Testament is Acts, but it is a very confusing book also, the Acts of the Apostles. There are three books in the New Testament that cause people falsely interpret these books, which cause a lot of confusion. And the three books are Matthew, Acts, and Hebrews. You could throw James in that mix too, but we'll stick with Hebrews. Now, in the book of Acts, it is a transition book. So is Matthew. Matthew is a transition from the doctrine under the Mosaic Covenant, following the religion of Judaism, into the New Testament, introducing the New Testament. Jesus introduced the idea of the New Testament at the Last Supper. The book of Acts is the actual transition. At the beginning of the book of Acts, Peter is the main character, but by the time you get in the middle and then the rest of the book, Acts 15 and following, Paul is the main character. There is a common saying that you rob Peter to pay Paul, and that seems to be what has happened in the book of Acts after the Jewish people rejected the messages of Peter and Stephen. So the transition also goes from the Jews to the Gentiles. The city, the main focus of the religious viewpoint is in Jerusalem at the beginning, but by the time you get to Acts 11 and following, Antioch of Syria becomes the main center of preaching and mission work. The nation of Israel is the main focus. You'll see the nation of Israel mentioned three or four times in Acts chapter 2. For someone to be so foolish to try to apply Acts chapter 2, especially verse 38, to a Gentile in America, is an absolute foolish interpretation of the Bible. And unfortunately, it just might land a person in hell if they're going to rely upon H2O to get them to heaven or hell. Okay, that's in the book of Acts. Then you have the book of Acts, you have Romans. 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. There are 13 letters that Paul wrote. These are doctrinal letters to born-again believers. Okay, that's what they are. He writes to seven different churches, like John wrote to seven churches, but not the same seven. Paul wrote to the church of Rome, Corinth, Galatia, Ephesus, Philippi, Colossae, and Thessalonica. And then he wrote to three individuals, Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Paul's burden was the Jews. He said to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But his calling was to the Gentiles. Romans 11:13, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. And often his burden got in his way. Got him in trouble a few times. But eventually his call overtook, I guess, his burden. Now, the letter to the Hebrews seems to pick up where Acts leaves off in Acts chapter 7. What do I mean by that? Well, the nation of Israel has an eternal covenant with God, an everlasting covenant, I should say. It's called an Abrahamic covenant. It is unconditional. It is with the corporate body of Israel as a nation. That doesn't mean the individual Jewish person who is an apostate or a reprobate or an unbeliever gets to partake of this covenant. No. They have to believe in the Messiah. And when Jesus was on the cross, he asked the Father to forgive the Jews, and he gave them another opportunity in Acts 2. Peter told those Jewish people that they murdered their Messiah. What were they supposed to do? Repent, get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Why that name? It's because they needed to turn their back on the Old Testament faith of Judaism. Well, they rejected, 3,000 accepted Peter's message, but that wasn't a high enough quota. Got to Stephen, and Stephen, of course, repeated Peter's message about murdering their Messiah and what they should be doing, and they rejected his message. And from then on out in the book of Acts, it begins a transition to the Gentiles. But you see, that everlasting covenant is still in force. It is part of, it is associated with the 70th week of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 24. You see, there is a great prophecy in Daniel 9, 24 to 27. It's called 70 weeks. Okay, it's not 7 days of a week, 70 weeks of those times 7 days. It is happens to be like when Jacob worked for a week, which became 7 years for Rachel. Now we have an advantage of understanding the interpretation of this prophecy of Daniel 9:24 because of hindsight. Now, the 70 weeks turns out to be 70 sets of 7 years. 69 of them was completed on Palm Sunday in Mark chapter 11 when Jesus walked into or came into Jerusalem on the colt, the foal of an ass. A few days of the 70th week evidently have already been used up. If I had a guess, maybe 150 or so, leaving 2,300 days left of the 70th week. Because when you read in Daniel 9:24 to 27, the 70 weeks are divided in three parts: 7, 62, and 1. So we're waiting for that remaining one. And the first 69 operated under the Old Testament covenant. Hence, the last one must pick up where that was left off. But the problem is that we have Calvary. Now is after Calvary. So this is what the letter to the Hebrews is writing about. It is giving adjustments. It is giving amendments to the Mosaic covenant. Instead of trusting in a four-legged lamb and then keeping the commandments to become righteous, it is now trusting the Lamb of God. But one will still need to keep the commandments, okay, to be considered righteous in God's eyes. For the New Testament believer, Prior to the event called, that's commonly called the rapture, the Bible refers to it as a translation. The sinner can get saved, he can be justified and have imputed righteousness placed upon his record upon faith in Jesus Christ. Repentance toward Jesus Christ and believing in what he did at Calvary. A person can become born again by grace through faith. And that is where eternal security comes in play. It is not, does not come in play in the letter to the Hebrews. This will be obvious. It did not come in play under the Old Testament covenant. Abraham received imputed righteousness by faith in Genesis 15. But Abraham was not justified until he offered up Isaac by his works. That was found in Genesis 22. This reveals a contrast between Romans 4 and 5, where imputed righteousness and justification is given at the same moment. But James 2 writes about one having to have works to back up their faith. James follows Hebrews. These letters, Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, in fact, if you go to James and look at the title of the epistle, it will say the general epistle of James. And then if you go to 1st Peter, it will say the first epistle general of Peter. And then in 2nd Peter, the first epistle general of Peter. The second epistle. Then 1 John, the first epistle general of John. Now, what is he saying? What is the author writing here? He's saying that these epistles are written generally, primarily. The main focus is dealing with a time period called the last days. The last days is not the church age. The last days refers to a time period that is associated with Daniel's 70th week. It is also called Jacob's trouble in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. It is called a time of trouble in Daniel 12, verse 1. It is called Great Tribulation, at least the second half is called Great Tribulation by Matthew in Matthew 24, verse 21. This is commonly known to be the tribulation. Okay, at the end of this tribulation, Daniel's 70th weeks are completed with seven characteristics laid out in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. This will be the completion of the 70 weeks of Daniel. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression. That's one. To make an end of sins. And to make reconciliation for iniquity. And to bring in everlasting righteousness. And to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Seven characteristics, not one of them have been fulfilled yet. That is an agreement between God and Israel. And so those things are waiting to be done. When the apostles asked Jesus about forgiveness, he said, forgive 70 times 7. I do believe that would be a very short reference to Daniel's 70 weeks, meaning 7 years, that has 70 sets. 69 of them are done. This is how the Jews knew the Messiah was coming into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. After 62 weeks, plus the 7, is when Messiah was cut off, according to Daniel 9, 25 and 26. Now, he was cut off where? At Calvary. that happened to occur on Wednesday following Palm Sunday. So all of that foundation helps us to begin to understand, it appears to be Paul's letter to the Hebrews. This seems to be like a treatise. Okay, we would say it's a very long letter, but compared to Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Galatians, yes. Okay, or the shorter letter to Titus. But it's 13 chapters, and it seems that the first 12, and it's interesting that it is 12, are directly written to the 12 tribes that are listed in Daniel and Revelation chapter 7 and 14. Just like James, the epistle of James, written to the 12 tribes that are scattered. Those 12 tribes are not 144,000 Jehovah false witnesses. It's 144,000, 12,000 of 12 different tribes of Jewish men, a Jewish remnant of men, young men. So Hebrews is written to Hebrews, not Jewish Christians. The word Christian is not found in the letter. And also, the doctrines that are given in Hebrews are in contrast to Paul's writings to the bride of Christ, to the church, Romans to Philemon. Now, I can read Hebrews and try to understand it by God's grace, and as I can read all of the Bible and get instruction from it, encouragement, comfort, motivation, exhortation. But doctrine is a whole different ballgame. Doctrine is an authoritative belief that may be addressed to a certain group of people, and it may have a limitation of time on it. This is why God gave us the entire Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine. Now, we live in a day and age where people will not endure sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 4:3-4. This is why we have utter confusion in the churches. This is why 99% of the pastors, the priests, the bishops, the cardinals, the pope, the reverends, the apostles, okay, some call themselves apostles, the reverend S's, the pastor S's, 99% of them don't believe that God has inspired his words and kept them perfectly for today. 99%. And that's a conservative estimate. If you doubt that, I'll help you and encourage you to start writing and find out. The book in their hands is what they think the best they can get. It is not inspired. And of course, they leave wiggle room where they could change the words anytime they want. So, you're listening to one who not only believes the originals were inspired, but the book that I have in front of me is also inspired. Inspiration is not limited to the original autographs. There is no verse in the Bible that states that. None. Zero. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's present tense. As the gospel is given. You see, the gospel is given. That's present tense. And so we need to understand doctrine. Doctrine is different than devotion. Motivation, instruction, spiritual application. Doctrine is what gives you stability. Rightly dividing the word of truth based upon doctrine will give you sanity and strength. The Bible will become a phenomenal, amazing book when you understand its doctrine must be rightly divided properly. 2 Timothy 2:15 clearly states that one is to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Those divisions deals with the doctrines, the differences between the doctrines of Judaism under the Old Testament covenant and the doctrines of the faith of Jesus Christ, which can be called biblical Christianity or New Testament Christianity. There are some similarities between Judaism and Christianity, commonly called Judeo-Christian ethics. But there are also some differences. Clearly, the dietary admonitions are different. Clearly, the day of the week for worship is different. Clearly, the type of clothing that God wants us to be wearing are different. There are several differences. Okay, and under the Old Testament, this is why they were called righteous versus wicked or unrighteous, where in the New Testament, it is a believer or unbeliever, or the word saved. And the word saved implies the opposite of lost. So that's the foundation that we're giving for Hebrews. It is not Hebrew Christians. It is flesh and blood Jewish people who understand or at least believe in the Mosaic covenant. And the letter is telling them that there is a better testament, better than the old one that was given at Mount Sinai. There is a better hope. There are better things. There are better promises. Why? Because of the best and better sacrifices, because we have the best Messiah. The word better is used quite often through Hebrews. So he's making an adjustment for these Hebrews. Now they happen to be living in a time period called the last days. You'll find that in verse 2. Okay, so that lays a foundation for us for this letter to the Hebrews. And hopefully we can understand doctrine as we come through. I will point out the doctrines by God's grace. And at the same time, we will come up with some instructional things or devotional things where we can see the difference between doctrine and devotion. Well, in closing, I would pray that you would study the Bible of God's choice.